I'm going to call our meeting to order on this November 7th, 2023. The first item on the agenda is approving the minutes. I move to approve the minutes.
I will second.
Any discussion? Amendments? All those in favor say aye. Aye, Sarah.
Aye, John.
All right. Minutes are approved. The next item on the agenda is approving the loan portfolio. There's 8 loans at $3.7 million. I move to approve the loans.
I'll second.
All right. Rich, we'll turn it over to you to maybe highlight the loans that we're looking at today.
A lot of bread and butter today, Sarah. You know, we've got a number of truck loans and a number of road loans. The one exception is loan number 7. The town of Bristol had a few budget items that went over projected expense levels, and so they needed to fill that gap. And so they're borrowing a small amount for a short period of time to fill that gap for operations. Other than that, everything is bread and butter, like I say.
Great. John, any questions for Rich about the loans?
No, looks good. I guess, are interest rates going up or down at this point? Because there's two sets here.
The loan interest rates have moved up during that time period. So the newer ones are at 6.25.
Okay, that was it for me.
Okay. All right. All those in favor of approving the loans for today, say aye. Aye, Sarah.
Aye, John.
There's no old business, and there's no new business, so we will move into the quarterly investment report. So, Rich, we'll turn it back over to you.
Thanks, Sarah. You know, today's board packet includes the two familiar quarterly reports for the Common School Fund, you know, along with a supplemental graph that I included of annual distributions. I'm going to try to keep this short and sweet today, but please feel free to ask any questions as they might come to mind. The financial markets did not have a great Q3. The Fed continued to tighten by hiking short-term rates by 0.25% back in June, but they've held steady since. Inflation has come down from pandemic-related highs, but has yet fallen to Fed target levels. A strong jobs market helped push market interest rates significantly higher during the third quarter. The 10-year benchmark treasury surged an additional 0.75% and reached a whopping 5% a few weeks ago for the first time since 2006. This increase in rates helped shave an additional 3% off prices in the taxable bond market during Q3. Global unrest, along with higher rates, also dug a nice hole for equities. U.S. stocks ended Q3 down 4%, with global stocks falling 5% during the quarter. From the chart on page 5, you can see how rising interest rates over the last 3 years have had a huge impact on the value of our rate-sensitive assets, hitting especially hard on our corporate bond and preferred stock ETFs. But overall, our funds continue to outperform the benchmarks. Not including the approximately $48 million that we received in the third quarter from unclaimed property and fines and forfeitures, our fund value declined by less than 1% during the quarter. Once again, it's a little tough to say that any kind of loss is good news, but when looking at how the market performed, we did all right. The better news is how the decline in asset prices failed to have a negative impact on our beneficiaries. The best example of this is how our bond and preferred stock portfolios continue to yield well above 5% and deliver over $12 million in distributable income, regardless of current price levels. In fact, I believe it is fair to say that the investment policy and the diversification plan approved by the board and implemented by the investment committee over the last several years is hitting its stride. Let's take a look at the graph on the last page of the packet for just a minute. Here you can see that we have delivered higher amounts of income every year since 2017, including record amounts each year since 2020. Earlier this year, in 2023, we delivered a 28% increase to $52 million. And the good news just keeps coming. At the board meeting 2 weeks ago, Tom and Sarah were very happy to announce that the Common School Fund distribution in 2024 will take another huge jump to $65 million. This distribution more than doubles the amount that schools have available for library media and technology in just the last 7 years. While the growth rate is bound to level off, I'm extremely confident that we will increase the amount of our annual distribution well into the foreseeable future. This confidence is grounded by the fact that our smoothing fund, which we put in place to supplement and stabilize future distribution in the face of increasing market uncertainties, has also reached a record amount, totaling more than $37 million. This $37 million is significantly higher than the minimum amount required under the investment policy, which is a really good thing. I believe that we need a few more years under our belts to fully understand how changing market dynamics can impact the trust funds over time. And all I can really say at this time is that future distributions are in excellent shape. But if you don't mind, let's go back to the portfolio report on page 5. And focus on the bottom right-hand corner for the total projected income. Last year in November, just 12 months ago, was the first time I reported that projection of income over the next 12 months would total more than $60 million. As you can see, our current portfolio is now expected to produce distributable earnings over the next 12 months of over $68 million. And we continue to make progress in diversifying the sources of this income. The State Trust Fund Loan Program has had two of the busiest quarters in the last 10 years. We have made significant commitments to a new asset class, infrastructure, that features a return profile with little to no correlation with our other investments. And we continue to invest in private debt. Next week, our investment committee will consider new commitments to further diversify that portfolio following the receipt of approved third-party due diligence reports. Our development of income streams from several different asset classes, as shown in the far right column, has helped both grow and stabilize future distributable income from unpredictable markets. Are there any questions before we move to the next page?
Oh, I really want one quick question.
Sure.
So you mentioned the market value of the, say, corporate bonds is down. Are we just holding those till they're mature anyways, or?
That is one possibility, John. You know, they will mature. I would, excluding defaults, which I don't really expect a lot of defaults, they will mature at full face value. You know, a lot of it depends on where we think interest rates are going to head and whether or not we need to raise some liquidity. And if we do need to raise some liquidity, because corporate bonds are currently above their current allocation, that would be one place that we would look. But if we did sell some of those corporate bonds at this time, we would be booking a loss. You know, and one theory is that that loss has already happened. So actually booking it shouldn't matter in our thinking. Other people look at it in different ways.
Okay.
But in general, unless there's a default, bonds will pay the full amount upon maturity.
Yeah, I kind of figured that that's why I wasn't too concerned about the market value of the bonds, at least for this type of an institutional investor. Okay, thanks.
Okay, thanks, John. I really don't have much new to say about the information provided on the allocation report. As we close in on our target allocations, you can see that we have made great progress over the past several years. However, I learned one thing that did surprise me a few weeks ago. As of today, we are invested in a total of 23 private investment funds. These include 8 real estate funds, 7 venture capital funds, 5 private debt funds with an additional 2 perhaps on the horizon, 2 infrastructure funds, and 1 convertible note, which is invested in an exciting medtech startup. In general, These types of funds are the right place for the Common School Fund because of the higher expected risk-adjusted rate of return and lower volatility. For trust funds like ours, these benefits of investing in private funds more than offset the greater liquidity offered through the public market. We are much more interested in a stable distribution to our beneficiaries than maintaining an ability to immediately sell assets upon short-term market fluctuations. And we benefit greatly from having a very long investment time horizon. With record distributions expected well into the foreseeable future, the investment committee is looking forward to continuing our work for trust fund beneficiaries of today as well as tomorrow. And that's all I have for today. Are there any questions?
Rich, I think the only thing that I would maybe also point out to John is of the venture funds that you mentioned.
You froze up, Sarah.
Oh, can you guys hear me?
Oh, we can.
Okay. Within those seven venture funds, a handful of them are Wisconsin based and are supporting Wisconsin startups. So whether that's the Lacrosse Fund or NVNG to 4490, but John just wanted to point that out, that that's also something that we've been really cognizant about too, as we are looking at these fund opportunities.
All right, thanks. That's good to hear.
So, Rich, the 65 million is a what percentage increase is that from last year?
25%.
It is 25%. Mm-hmm. And it's really funny. Maybe I can grab it. When I had to do the last announcement during COVID, this was the number that I had to share with everybody, which was 39 million. And to think now in 2024, we're like 65 million. I mean, unbelievable.
Yeah, we've made amazing progress, haven't we?
Unbelievable. So, yeah, I still have this hanging up in my office. And it's now I need to clearly exit out and put 65. So we've come a long way.
I'll have to get you one of those big checks.
Right. Well, thanks, Rich. And John, do you have any questions about the investment report and the kind of trajectory of the Common School Fund?
Well, it's going in the right direction. That's really only all I have to say. I mean, it really is. It just shows how much of a change since, when was the law changed? 2015 or so, that the fund could actually make some investments that had some more potential.
Yeah, John, I think that law was passed in August of 2015, but it took us over a year to develop the investment policy and start moving in that direction. And then when we did, we moved very prudently into these new asset classes because at the time, prices seemed relatively high to us. And so we really moved slowly and prudently into the new asset classes so that we would benefit the fund over the long term.
Yeah,
and now that we're almost fully invested in the asset allocation plan is really coming into fruition, that it's really working well.
Oh yeah, I wouldn't expect it to double the very next year. That just means somebody was gambling. But it's moving in the right direction in a steady manner. So that's a good thing.
The other thing that wasn't discussed up to this point is that when we got that expanded investment authority, we didn't get any additional resources to manage the funds in that way. And the fact is, it takes a lot more money and work to actually diversify the portfolio the way that we have. Each one of those third-party due diligence reports is $15,000. Every time that we do that, we are engaging outside counsel at an additional cost. And so not only did we move carefully and prudently in terms of which funds we are selecting, we also had to spread out those expenses because we couldn't pack them into one fiscal year. But everything has worked very well. And thank you for your patience with us. And I think it's the numbers speak for themselves at this point.
Any other questions for Rich?
Just not for Rich specifically, but when is this number locked in? Do we know like exactly how much, or?
I mean the 65 million?
Yeah, like what's?
So it's locked in.
Okay.
It's not changing. This is the number. And in my report, John, like we've talked about a date to publicly announce it early, as I mentioned before, so we can give schools the notification that they need to send this information to school districts. And so school librarians can plan accordingly. But yes, it's locked.
Okay, good. And I guess the next question is, when are we announcing it then?
So what I was going to, can we hold that maybe, John, until my update?
Oh, yeah.
Great.
No problem.
Great. Any other questions? Well, appreciate, Rich, as always, your thorough report and good news about, despite maybe some things that have been happening in the market, we're still moving forward. So
thank you.
Moving on to the executive secretary's report.
I will do my best to be brief as well. I noticed today again, board just approved 8 loans to 8 different communities. Those communities are located in 8 different counties. And I'm constantly amazed at the reach of the program and the diverse number of communities that have used the program. I guess that got driven home as Rich and I recently participated in small community rural forums in different parts of the state. Rich traveled all the way up to Gilman to participate, and I got the shorter travel to Norwalk, Wisconsin. But it's a great opportunity to spread the word about the work of BCPL and the Trust Fund Loan Program in some of the smaller communities, and a chance to talk to Jerry Deshane from the League of Wisconsin Municipalities out on the road. So anyway, I appreciated that opportunity. Last week, BCPL closed on the purchase of 330-plus acres of school trust lands in Forest County, which was authorized by the board earlier this fall. Purchase price was $638,000. The land we are acquiring is contiguous to existing school trust lands, and the newly acquired lands have mature timber on them, and we are moving forward with a timber sale that will cover some of our previously owned property and some of the newly acquired land. And we're also going to be making payments in lieu of taxes on those new properties. So as the Secretary of State likes to say, it's a kind of a win-win-win situation. And finally, the state's annual United Way combined giving campaign is wrapping up. We had great participation from all of our staff. And I'm thankful to work with people who have a commitment to giving back to their communities, not only in their public service work for public education financing, but also with their pocketbooks to their choice of charities. So tip of the hat and thanks to all of our staff here. And that's my report for today. Any questions?
Well, thanks, Tom, and appreciate. I did not know about the United Way campaign, so that's nice to hear.
Yeah.
John, any questions for Tom?
No, I'll nothing here.
Okay. So just moving on to my report. So we've been working to kind of figure out a date, time, location for the Common School Fund announcement on the upcoming distribution. As it was shared, we have moved up our press conference. We used to do it back in February. We still will do an announcement with all of our friends at WIMTA, which is the Wisconsin, which is the organization for school librarians and technology specialists, media specialists. But it's, we got feedback that it's better when they can have more time to plan and make sure that they're truly optimizing the resources being provided. So one of the factors is, when can we get either the assembly parlor or the Senate parlor to do this? So we have locked in the date on November 20th at 11 a.m. in the assembly parlor. So, John, that is hot off the press. And so my team, too, is going to follow up with you. We're right now in the process of building the agenda. Typically, we have the president of the school librarians come and share and other stakeholders, the superintendent of public instruction, and then other folks in the educational space come and participate.
All right, sounds good.
And that's when we will, and Tom, I believe you guys have ordered the check already.
Twee was even more efficient. We have the check already.
Okay, I knew it was, you were very proactive, but I didn't know if it had already arrived. So that's terrific news. So,
but we only have one check. We do not have two. So some years we end up having two, especially for the WIMTA convention. So yep. So at this point, we only have one.
Okay. We only need one for the press conference, but maybe as a, for February, we can order another one. And John, that's when we, you know, also present at the end of it. It's like our publisher clearinghouse moment with the big check. So.
Okay. Sounds good. Yeah, I think I was at that conference this last year. I think that's the one. Yeah.
Oh, great.
In February. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, good. Good. Wonderful. Well, that's all I have for my update for now. Any other items for an upcoming meeting? Seeing none, I move to adjourn.
I will second.
All those in favor, say aye. Aye, Sarah.
Aye, John.
Meeting's adjourned. Thanks, everybody. Appreciate it. Have a good week.
Thanks. Sorry I was a few minutes late.